The scripture verses today are from Isaiah and 1 Peter. So we'll start on page 1145 in your pew Bibles. I'm going to read Isaiah 53:6-12. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all of us. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The New Testament reading is from 1 Peter, found on 1888 in your pew Bible. I'm going to read verses 13 through 17, and then skip down to 21 to 25. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as a supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong, and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God and honor the King. Verse 21. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on a tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you would have been healed. For you were like the sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Marcia. Our message this morning, I'm going to be taking out of Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 34, and 53 through 56. So if you'd like to open your few Bibles to page 1562. And I'll be starting at Mark 6, chapter 6, verse 30 through 34, and then 53 to 56. Mark 6, verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. And he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves on a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Verse 53. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. And as soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran through that whole town, that whole region, and carried the sick on mats to wherever he was heard. Wherever they heard he was, excuse me. And whenever, wherever he went, into villages, towns, or the countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for those who have gathered here. And we do ask that you make your presence known to us and your will for our lives. Be with us this morning as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So somewhere, I was reading about a man who went to an auto auction, and they're having this auction to raise money for a charity. And what they were doing is the vehicles in this auction, they were selling them off and they were bidding on them. So they had two different categories. One was running and the other was a no start category. So on the auction block, when he got there, he's watching, and the auctioneer comes on, and he wants to start bidding on this one car, and it was in the no start category. And so he tells you what the make and the model of the car is, and we're looking at it, and the man's looking at it, he's looking at it, so it's got a cracked windshield, looks like the hood's a little bent, got a couple of tires missing. And we know it won't start because it's in that category. The bumper's bent, the grill's a little cockeyed. But before he starts the bidding, the auctioneer pipes up and he says, "Oh, and the owner of this car, he left a little note he wanted to make sure that you all know." And he says, "The radio's not working." We think about that. But I got to think about that when I was reading scriptures this morning. We all know there's something broken with each and every one of us. But do we always see what's broken with us? I thought about that, and then I thought about one church I used to go to. The pastor would always come out, and he'd always start with, "The Lord be with you." And what would the people answer? Well, he did this for years. Then one Sunday morning he comes out and he says, all the people are expecting the same thing to happen again. He says, "There was something wrong with the sound system." He says, "I think this microphone is broken." And the people all said, "And also with you." I think something broken. So today when I got reading about Mark's gospel and I got thinking about it, I got thinking, what is really going on here? Why are you leading me back here? Because last week we talked about how he kind of interrupted his story about Jesus, or when the disciples, they went out, he sent them all out, and they returned. But in between, he told us about John the Baptist. So last week we talked about John the Baptist. Well, this week, I'm still in the same story. But we're starting back at verse 30, where we left off last week. And we're reading about the disciples returning. They had to be all kinds of excited when they returned, because they had all kinds of things happening. People were following them, and they had got a chance to talk to people and throw. They had demons, they removed demons, and it was like, this was all so wonderful. So as I read this, I got to thinking, what is going on here? So the start right off is that, "Though the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they," note the word "they," "all they had done and taught." I'm going to continue to read this, because one more thing I want you to see. "Then because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, 'Come with me and be by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.' Well, then Mark records for us, so they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place, but many who saw, note this word, them, ran on foot from all the towns and got to where they were going ahead of them. So when Jesus landed and saw the large crowds, he had compassion on them, so they began, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd. And I thought, when I first read about that, I'm thinking, no, wait a minute. Who does Jesus see? Is he telling us something he said, or is Mark, he's really telling us about Jesus' frame of mind here. When he lands, he sees the disciples he's with, he sees the people that surround him waiting, and then he's in this frame of mind, he's thinking, these people are all like sheep without a shepherd. So I got to focus it on that. So then I went back and I started reading again. So it appears when he first talks about the disciples coming back all excited, enthusiastic, you try to say, wait a minute, settle down. Settle down. Let's take a minute to reflect on what's going on here. And we all know that we need time to rest, because if we don't rest, we don't get anything accomplished, now do we? It seems always to go haywire. I often think about the story of the woodsman who challenged another to a contest, and they go after it, and the one what is blind, he's working his butt off. I mean, they're all day to seeing who can chop the most wood in one day. And this guy, he's working like crazy. He's sweating every time he looks over at the other woodsman. He looks over there. The guy's taking a break. He's thinking, out, what's he doing? I'm going to have him whooped, no problem. Come the end of the day, the woodsman comes out, and he's like, he is whooped, and he's chopped him a pretty good pile of wood, but he looks over and the other one's been had cut more. He's thinking, how is this possible? Every time I looked over here, you were taking a break. He said, yeah, I was. He says, but the thing you didn't notice is when I was chopping wood, when I was taking my break, I was also sharpening my axe. No, we need to rest so we can have a clearer vision of what God has for us. So we can fight the spiritual battle, so we know exactly what he wants for us in our lives, what he wants us to do. So when I got looking at this and I got thinking about, all right, so this is Jesus' mindset. He pulls up here, and it's not just a mindset about the people that are there that had followed the disciples, because they are following the wrong people. They should have been following Christ. But it was also the disciples' attitude, because they thought what they had done, it wasn't what Christ had done through them. So Jesus is seeing all of them as sheep without a shepherd. What are some of the attributes of sheep? Anybody here raise sheep? No? Well, I helped a couple of times. It wasn't pretty. They're not very bright. When I looked at this, they're prone to wander off. And I often wondered why. And I didn't really know this until I investigated a little bit. But they're definitely prone to wander off. They're kind of like people. You know, you get pointed one direction, and next thing you know, they go there until they find something that's a little more better, and then they go in that direction. So we all are prone to wander. And then I got to figuring out, why is that? Why don't they learn from their mistakes? Why don't we learn from our mistakes? Because most of the time we're short-sighted. Did you know that a sheep can only see 6 foot in front of it? So it doesn't know where it's been. I mean, it can turn around, but it still only sees 6 feet behind it. How many of us feel that way? I've made the same mistake so many times in my life I couldn't count. I only see 6 feet in front of me a lot of times. So I can see where Jesus would think, we're sheep, they need shepherd. We need a shepherd. A couple of things I've learned about, so when we wander off, oh, I'm going to lose my place. I had a whole bunch of things here. They can't see very good. So they can't see very good, but they can hear pretty good. So Jesus told us in John 10:20, he said, Jesus said that his sheep hear him and they follow him and that he knows him. So those of us who live in this Western world, we think about this. Think about raising sheep. So anytime we'd move sheep, and years ago I worked for Ellsworth Snow over here. I don't know if any of you knew something. He usually kept about 100 sheep. And then once a year he'd move them from the barn, and then, which was a nasty job of cleaning out later, but we'd move him to the fields for pasture. And he had a dog that would go with him. So every year we'd drive him out. And Snowy wasn't really fond of these sheep, so they would never listen to him. So we'd end up driving them from behind and try to keep them together as we go up the road and get them to the next pasture. But now during biblical times, the shepherds actually lived with the sheep, so the sheep would know them. They'd know the shepherd's voice. All they had to do was call them and they would walk. And the sheep would follow. Because he would just talk out to them, sing to them. And then he'd train a couple of dogs that would pick up the laggers, make sure they got all pointed in the right direction. They needed a shepherd. When we raise sheep, most of the time they're sheep without a shepherd. We try to fence them in. But in Jesus' day, it was open country. And yes, they knew that the sheep were prone to wander, but they also had help. And if they wandered away, he would go after them. Well, I was learning to be a pastor. I remember one course I took, and a pastor was talking about shepherding people. And he said, rule number one, pastors aren't shepherds. Well, that opened a lot of eyes. He says, because I want you to think of it this way. He says, we have a good shepherd. The Bible tells us that. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The sheep will hear my voice, and they will know me. When I thought about that, I think, is it okay, so if we're not the shepherds, what are we? So my first question was, if we're not the shepherd, what are we? He says, you're the sheepdog. I said, what do you mean by that? He says, because we're going to train here. We're going to help the shepherd. And we're going to help keep these sheep in line and going in the right direction they're supposed to go. That's my job as a pastor. I'm the sheepdog. I need to nip at you a little bit, make sure you're going in the right direction, make sure you're headed for greener pastures, making sure that you're following the good shepherd. I mean, we all know the 23rd Psalm, right? Who here hasn't heard the 23rd Psalm? How many believe it? Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. What does a shepherd do? He leads the sheep. And if we know him, he knows us by name. And if we listen to him and follow him, we won't be sheep without a shepherd. The more I studied this, the more I looked at it, I'm thinking, Jesus' mindset is totally set on knowing that here are a bunch of sheep that have no shepherd. What direction would they know to go in? We all need a shepherd, a good shepherd, to lead us. As I looked at the final verses in Mark in 53 to 56, it really revealed to me that the people finally saw who Jesus was. Because at the end, they just begged to reach out just to touch his cloak. Because they know that he was the good shepherd. that he was the one that could heal them, that could lead them. That they were definitely sheep without a shepherd. I know all of us here today, all of us who believe we are Christians, have a tendency to wander, have a tendency to lose sight of the shepherd. I'm here to nip at you a little bit, to nudge you to make sure you're going in the right direction, to help fend off any of those who would seek to destroy your life in Christ. You need to ask yourselves today, am I a sheep without a shepherd? Or do I know the good shepherd and I follow him because I can hear him? I hear him in my prayers and in all I do. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you how you have blessed us here at this church. I thank you for all those you have sent here, knowing that they have a good shepherd. I pray that each and every one of them will listen to your voice and know in their hearts that they are part of your flock, that you know them by name, and you will be with them in all things. Father, I pray would you be with us and bless us this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.